May the words of my mouth and the reflections of my soul be pleasing to you, O God. So I think it's about 5 months ago now, due to COVID-19, I had to make my very first Facebook page. And I want you to all know, I had a birthday recently, and I'm officially 65. And I'm on Medicare, so I'm with the crowd of, I don't really do Facebook. But we had to live stream our Sunday worship at Holy Trinity. And as things go, pastors hand things down, and the last pastor couldn't remember the Facebook password. And so we opened a new one with a new congregant that we had in our church, and she had very good will to open this Facebook page, a new one for us, but she quickly used her words and not exactly the words and ideology of the ELCA. So she left with a password. So it fell on me to do this part. David was very busily doing the YouTube piece, but I knew that for us, Facebook was the way to get the word out, because I could hear it from the people. So here I am on Facebook. And at first, I loved it. I loved seeing the pictures that my daughter-in-law was posting of my grandchildren and little videos that I wasn't getting unless she remembered to text them to me. And I loved seeing my friends have birthdays and anniversaries. I felt on top of the world. My senior citizen memory wasn't getting to me. I knew everybody's birthday. I was really good. And then something really surprising that was so good, my former co-workers in case management that still work were getting in touch with me, and I got to find out how some of my clients were doing. And they, if you remember, they were people with mental illness, so to hear them successfully doing well was amazing. I even got in touch with a high school friend of mine that we left off not knowing where the other went, and we were very close. So it was awesome. But then, what I also found out was something that I always knew, but never to the depths of it until it was right there in my face day after day. I too fell into that trap of having to check out Facebook. I had to see if I had any likes. Now, for those of you who don't have Facebook yet, think about it. There's a word liked, so when you click on like, the person who posted something, a picture or anything, a comment, they know that you agree with them. So people like to get liked. And these likes make us feel good, and we actually start to believe we're part of the in crowd, and that we're accepted, and that we're important, and our words are important. And sometimes people click like, I found out, just to be agreeable, to make the other person feel good, even if they don't really agree. Because then you find out that later in a private message. It's quite complicated. And I found it out. Because this Facebook page was in my name and not Holy Trinity, and I posted Bishop Eaton's stance on certain things, I heard somebody say on their thing, well, it's her business if she wants to post that because it is her Facebook page and not the church. Wrong. So that was a little, and there were worse. And then there's a thing called following a person. Now this is a whole nother thing. If you look at somebody often enough, you can become a follower of their ideology and their thinking. And some people are followed so much, believe it or not, they're called influencers. Now I might be telling you things you know, but they're all new to me. And so these influencers, well, they influence our young people, our old people, they influence everyone. And they actually can make a living off of it. So the more you follow them, the more likes they get, the more attention they get, the more money they make. And their words can change how we think and how we live our lives. So what I'm speaking about this morning is the power of words. It seemed to really get to Jesus this time. And so I felt right by him in my love-hate relationship with Facebook. Now, words can lift us up, and words can fill us with peace and with joy. Words can be healing and comforting, and they can be life-changing and life-giving. Then there are those negative words. I was shocked to read what people will say at home safely tucked behind their computer screens. They say things that they would never say to my face or to yours. It's like gossiping on the grocery line, but brought to a whole nother level. For real. Yet people are drawn to it. It's almost like when you see an accident on the southern state and you know that you should not rubberneck and not give it the time of day because you don't want to cause another accident, but you can't help it. You get sucked in, you get pulled in, and there you are looking at it. And that's how I was at 3 o'clock in the morning on Facebook. And getting outraged, just like when you see an accident that shouldn't have happened, like tailgating. Now these words, these comments that can cut us to the core, that can divide us and do divide us, words that polarize, words that spread hatred, words that can diminish a person's self-esteem and self-worth, can and have destroyed lives. We know the suicide rate among young people has risen. And lots of it is because of what people have told them about themselves. That was just poison. Now, after what I have seen on Facebook, I have come to realizing people are really using words that defile. Now more than ever. And their words make them feel powerful as they hide behind the screen. Now, in today's gospel, Jesus is calling out Jewish law. And he is challenging the Pharisees. You see, what happened was, you know, it seems like he just jumps in there and yells. I did a little history research. The disciples sat down and ate without washing their hands. They broke Jewish law. Jesus is kind of like fed up with the law at this point. He's just like, they're eating. Leave them alone. And it's almost like, you know, I do good things, but you're not kind. You know, it's like, I'll do the ritual, but I'm not following through. So he's really outspoken, and he's saying some very strong words to the crowd. And he states, listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Jesus' words are directed to us right here and right now. What we say on Facebook or in person or behind someone's back that hurt and divide, well, those words come from within, and they do defile us. Now, Jesus seems to have enough, and he is calling them out to live their life as faithful people. A faith that is to be lived out and not demonstrated in just ritual. And he uses many examples to get the message, for them to get the message. Like the blind leading the blind and how they will fall into a pit. And that every plant that is not planted by his heavenly Father will be uprooted. He is speaking about man-made ritual and laws. Rituals that may have started for health reasons, much like we do today in 2020. Washing your hands is really important. But it's when they forget that purity really means for spirituality and getting caught up in the ritual alone, well, that's where things go wrong. Like all of us, we can do kind things, like I said a little while ago, but we need to live kind lives. Then on top of everything, Jesus is already pretty up there in his tiredness of all of it. Peter, of all people, who has been with Jesus all along, wants even more explanation. This time, Peter is missing the boat. Jesus sounds so frustrated with Peter, his numero uno. He seems to be unenlightened and not seeing the truth of what is important to God. Jesus doesn't give up. He goes on to say, "Do you not see whatever goes into your stomach comes out and goes into the sewer? But what comes out from the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles us. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, and these are what defile a person. Eating with unwashed hands does not. And all of this holds true for us these days more than ever. There are many voices shouting out at this time, especially in our own country. So many shouting against social injustice, equality for all, leadership and direction. We stand divided politically in different political camps. We no longer seem to be working for the common good of all people. And then there's division within our own families. We have different beliefs of what is safe practice to stay well. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Eat out, eat in. Open schools or not open schools. And our personal relationships during this time are very strained. Things that we have been sweeping under the rug have been resurfacing. In order to be a true follower of Christ, we must not turn a blind eye to anyone. And we definitely must not tear down with our words. So I ask you, whose words do we follow in this world divided? I want you to take a quick moment, and we're all going to, except for me, because I have to read, close our eyes and think about who we blindly follow. Whose words are we turning our ear to? Who are we listening to? It may be a family member, a close friend. It might be the voice of the majority of people you know. It could be a political leader or a religious leader. Now take a moment and think about who comes to mind. Okay, now picture that person and the words that they have shared that you follow. I want you to ask this question. Are they speaking what Jesus spoke? Are they teaching us what Jesus taught? Not in only what they say, but how they live their lives. We need to be careful who we follow, or we might all fall into a pit. You can open your eyes if they're closed. We are all searching for answers. Jesus is warning us today in this gospel to be mindful and not to follow blindly. He tells us that all good plans come from the Father, and it's not about the rituals we do and not about man-made laws. But what it's more about is how do we live our lives? Are we flourishing and growing? Are we truly caring for each other as Christ has shown us? We must stand together in all situations that are unjust. It's our calling to do so. Our first reading from Isaiah says, "We are called for justice for all." It states, "Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right." It goes on to say that God's deliverance will be revealed, not only for just some, but to all. And not because of race, nationality, or any other category. Jesus himself, along with his disciples, they turn a blind eye to the Canaanite woman. And their words are not soft and comfy. And they're not kind at all. Now, anyone with a pressing need who knows how horrible it feels to have a dire or significant request for help or information to be met with dead silence. In fact, no one immediately responds to her or gives her the impression that they even will. The disciples actually urge Jesus to send her away, and it appears that they're very annoyed with her continued shouting. Her refusal for taking silence for an answer. The woman goes on and on. Now, I can relate to the Canaanite woman, not because my sermons are long, but when I need something done for my children, I will shout out. In fact, for anyone's children and any one of my brothers and sisters. So I relate to her. Women's words are often met with silence or interrupted or disrespected by men. And what's even worse, they are often disrespected and rejected by other women. Now, at times, we can refuse to empathize with people whose experience is different from our own. If oppression, injustice, or pain is not happening in our own house or in our own neighborhood and does not impact our race, gender, class, or sexuality, then we tend to dismiss it as unwelcome and unjustified noise, and we turn a deaf ear. Jesus' response to the apostles urging to send the Canaanite woman away seems to affirm their desire to dismiss her. The Canaanite woman persists. Her words are powerful as she calls out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David." He sees him for who he is. She sees Jesus as the one that heals, the one who has performed miracles for others. Shouting out to him, "Son of David," Jesus knows who she is, and she recognizes him. And in her faith, Jesus sees her. He hears her. He does not reject her and shows her mercy. It was her undying faith that he saw. He saw her faith, and immediately after, not soon after, right there on the spot, without the girl even being present, she is instantly healed. It is the woman's faith that he can hear, that he can see, that he recognizes. Now take another moment and think about who we might reject, who we turn a deaf ear to. Do we bash people with hurtful words? Do we choose to show no mercy? Do we turn a blind eye to anyone? Do we reject others? I know at times I can fall into those traps. To be perfectly honest, it's easy to do. We are so caught up in our own lives and what's important to us that we can fall into those horrible words. But as followers of Christ, as children of God, we are called to love one another. If our common humanity, our relatedness does not move us, then I ask you, what will? Are we like Peter and the disciples? Do we need more examples of how to live our lives as followers of Christ? My sisters and brothers, we are going through this time in our lives, this time of fear, this time of turmoil, this time that none of us have ever had to face. To say uncertain is a small word. We must not turn a blind eye, and we cannot automatically reject anyone, and we must not spew out words that defile. We should follow only the word of God, who plants only good plants. Like the Canaanite woman, we must see Jesus for who he is, the one that can heal, the one who can make the impossible happen. Our world has grown ill, both spiritually and physically. We must all shout out to Jesus in unison for healing and for him to show us the way. To be a true follower of Christ, we must live according to his teachings, and then and only then will we find true peace and our faith, and in our faith, we will see and feel and know the mercy of our God. Amen.